The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
So we say, we always say to Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have. Told you turn the other cheek and they made it with a bat. Fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war. Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called a national guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is March 18th, 2016. It is a Friday afternoon. Headed into the weekend and wow. Just, I want to be straight up and just honest with you today, folks. Don't really have anything planned to talk about. I'm just feeling a lot of frustration under the weight and pressure of this racist system of injustice that we are under. And it's not that I'm frustrated for myself or because of any things that are happening to me personally, but it's just so much happening in the world and in this country in terms of the injustice that is going on. Then as I read some of the conversations that are being had around some of the issues and what have you, and just recognizing that while what we do here on the Black Talk Radio Network is important, like last month we had over 170,000 unique listeners from all over the world tuned in to the station. But the thing is that we are not reaching enough people. We are not reaching enough people with important information and trying to help them understand, you know, that what the information that they're getting from the mainstream corporate media and even from their elected representatives and church leaders, and that, you know, that they are a part of the system that has so many of us confused about racism, confused about how it works, just confused about everything. And, you know, I'm seeing just a whole lot of vitriol. I'm just seeing a whole lot of, you know, and some of it's coming from me. And you know, I'm not going to apologize for being vitriolic towards people who are harming other people. I ain't got no love in my heart for those type of people. And, you know, I wish they were. I wish we could just all round them up and put them on the island by themselves somewhere. To where they're not harming everybody else. So I'm just feeling a whole lot of frustration today, a whole lot of stress. And, you know, I almost didn't even come on the airways and what have you, because I'm just, you know, I'm feeling so negative right now. I'm feeling a lot of negativity, you know, and it's not because of anything, you know, that's going on towards me directly, but, you know, just it's just in the air. All of this negativity is in the air. So Just feeling very frustrated today. But I know there are some stories that I will share with you during the next hour. Coming up today, I do know that Tando Radio Show will be on air at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Brother David, the host of that program, has already posted his program topic. I'm not so sure about Race Treaty. I sent an email to see if Race Treaty will be on air tonight, as well as the Lotus Place. But let me go ahead and just jump into this. I found this clip that I have been looking for a very long time, pertaining to the late Dr. Frances Welsing. And I remember hearing her when she was still alive talking about black people must start putting demands on President Obama in terms of him doing something to dismantle or address the system of racism and white supremacy, and saying how, you know, we had gave him, and she talked about it more than once. I heard her on more than one occasion state this, but she talked about how we have, as a people, as a group of people, a distinct group of people here in the United States, that through the first term of his administration and through the second term of his administration, going into the, you know, start of the seventh, we were in his seventh year. So he's now in his eighth year now. But I mean, even in his eighth year, she was saying that we must make demands of him because we have not been asking him for anything. We hadn't asked him to do anything. He got in that position as CEO of USA Inc. because of black people. And so it's now time for black people to put some demands on him. And right now, and I'm not talking about everybody, but I'm talking in general terms, but right now, what we see the masses of black people doing that are involved in politics or involved in trying to address some of these issues that our people are facing, all of this oppression. I mean, the only way you are going to address it is through politics, because nobody is prepared and nobody seems willing for all out war, because we are on a battlefield and this is war. But a lot of us are even confused about who the enemy is and whatnot. And I have to say, man, these powerful, wealthy people that's in power, man, they've done an excellent job in confusing not only black people about the system, but white people, people classified as white, just confuse everybody about the system. But I have been looking for that clip, you know, because, you know, we got a lot of people that's suffering. And I feel for those people. Not to say that I don't have my own personal problems, but my personal issues are pale in comparison to what so many millions more are going through. I would say, you know, I'm living in heaven compared to what some of our people are going through. You know, some of our people, man, they walk out the door wondering if that'll be the day that they get shot down by one of these slave catchers or get arrested and end up in a prison, or if that'll be the day that they find a job, or if how they're going to eat or how they're going to pay their bills and what have you. And, you know, I'm in a close-knit family, and we have a little bit, you know, more resources than you know, most of the people out there. That's why I don't like complaining about anything I'm going through, and I tell people, you know, I'm surviving. But I'm just, you know, really feeling for these people, and I'm just frustrated that, you know, we are not really, I shouldn't say not making any gains, but they are minimal gains. And when I talk about gains, I'm talking about, like, for example, this election season, we have, I should say people have, I shouldn't say we, because I wasn't in Chicago and I wasn't in Cleveland to march, protest, make phone calls, register, email, go to the voting booth and get those prosecutors out of office that had been upholding the system of injustice in terms of police killing us. And so, you know, I don't want to minimize the effort that it took to replace those people. But, you know, we need so much, much, much more. And right now, you know, we are not even focusing on, you know, you got a president who's in his last year of office. If he's going to do anything about black, for black people and non-white people and poor people, that the time is now for him to do it. And he does not seem interested in doing it. And we don't seem interested as a people, as a mass of people, of telling him to do anything or making no demands on this man to do what is in his power to do. And I know he ain't empowered to do everything, but he could do far more than what he has done, which is next to nothing. And it's just so, it's just so frustrating. It's so frustrating. Okay, so I want to play this clip of Dr. Francis Cresswell's call to black people to start putting demands on this man before he get out of office. All right, and then, you know, after I listen to that clip, I might have some commentary. I may not. I'm just not feeling it today, but I'm, you know, this is what this is what I set out to do, to run, to build and run a radio network, and I need to, you know, get on these airwaves and not, you know, take a day off because I'm not feeling well mentally or emotionally or spiritually even. So, but you can call in and share your thoughts, any news that you would like to share. Just really kind of out of it today, but the telephone number for the conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment. You can also use our web-based flash phone, or you can call us on the studio line at 704-951-5030. So this clip, I finally was able to find it on YouTube, because I know a lot of people, you know, take clips of people like Neve Fuller, make clips of people like Neve Fuller, like Dr. Francis Cresswell, like other scholars and teachers and what have you, and they post them on YouTube. But I was finally able to find this clip, which I thought, you know, was going to be harder to do. So this clip was posted earlier this year on January the 15th, 2016, but I'm not sure when she made this statement, because this isn't the same statement that I heard her with my own ears make when she said it on the air live, but she said something similar. So I'm going to go ahead and share that with you. Again, this is Dr. Francis Cresswell talking about black people putting demands on President, CEO of USA Inc., Obama, Barack Obama, to do something substantial to attack the system of racism and white supremacy.
President Obama is like a CEO of a company he doesn't own. But at the same time, he has a title of President of the United States of America. And this is supposed to be the most powerful country in the world. And so one of the things he did say, not in that speech, but he said that, you know, he has to be pushed by the different groups of people to articulate, you know, their interest. And so we have been very kind, I think, in understanding of the president, but maybe it's time for us to begin to speak aloud and speak with clarity that we want the issue of racism, white supremacy, to be on top of the table, and to speak directly to what has happened to black people in this area of the world. And we want that specifically addressed, not along with everybody else's issue, because nobody else, no other group, has been the group that were enslaved in this part of the world. And so nobody else has had the exact experience. And we want to be recognized in our specific and exact history. And we want the same commitment to for opportunity. And not have black people blamed for dropping out of school or black on black homicide. We want dropping out of school and black on black homicide, not making excuses for it. But when you have a population that has twice and three times and four times the level of unemployment that everybody else has, then you've got a population that is extremely frustrated, demeaned and frustrated. And so you're going to see negative behavior, especially when the system gives that population drugs and gives that population guns. So we're going to see that, but we need to tie all of that in its relationship to the dynamic of racism, white supremacy. But as long as we do not talk about specifically racism, white supremacy, as long as we even hide behind talking about police violence, the police in every society are the first line defenders of the state. If the state is racism, white supremacy, then that's what the police carry out. And that's what we see police all across the country carrying out. Carrying out the necessity of a system of racism, white supremacy. And that necessity is kill black men. And until we begin to talk about it in those clear and concrete terms, I think the problem is going to continue.
All right, so that was Dr. Francis Cress Welsing again. That's not the same, that's not what she said, what I actually heard her say it when she said, talked about President Obama, the CEO of USA Inc. Because, hey, I had never heard her refer to him as the CEO. He is the CEO, Dr. Welsing. He is the CEO because the United States of America is a corporation. It incorporated in 1871. So he is, in fact, the chief executive officer of the United States of America Incorporated. He is. So, but that's the first time I chuckled when I heard her say that, because I had never heard her say that. And I say that all the time about him being the CEO, that these people right now running for quote-unquote president are really running to become the chief executive officer of this corporation that is in bed or exists solely to service the needs of other corporations and not the people. Now, I wholeheartedly agree with her that it is time for those people who participate in the people activity of politics, but even those who don't. If you pay taxes, you have a voice. You should have a voice, and you should be have a say in what is happening. And you should be making demands on the system, whether you vote or not, because we all pay taxes. If you go to the store and you buy something, you pay taxes. If you have a job, you pay taxes. Okay? You ain't even got to own no property, but you pay taxes. So I don't want to be one of those people that say, well, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice, or you shouldn't complain. No, you should complain, whether you're voting or not. Whether you are one of the millions of black people and white people who voted for him and put him in that position, hopefully with an expectation that he was going to do something to make our lives better, you know, even if you are one of those people or not, you should be making demands on the CEO of USA Inc. so he can go to the rest of them corporate officers that we call representatives and senators and whatnot. And so they can have conversations, whether they have these conversations behind closed doors, like he was having conversations behind closed doors this week with rich, wealthy people and telling them to support his partner in crime, Hillary Clinton, we need to be raising our voices and putting demands on him, because we have not done so. Some of us have. I don't want to make it seem like all of us, but for the most part, the majority of us, and I'm talking about black people specifically, we have put no demands on this man. Whether we was feeling sorry for him because of the racist disrespect that he was receiving in the Congress and whatnot, you know, or because we empathized with him because he looked like us or whatnot. But for whatever reason, we have been totally silent. We haven't been saying anything. We have been nothing but apologists and saying that he's just one man. He's just one man. He can't do this. He can't do that. But those who say that don't know the power that the chief executive officer of USA Inc. wields. He doesn't need Congress to attack racism and white supremacy. He has no problem. He has had no problem issuing executive orders to address the mistreatment of gays and lesbians in this country. He issued an executive order saying that there will no longer be any discrimination in the military services against gay people. Okay, so he has taken executive action on a number of things, but none of those things really speak specifically to the issues or the problems of black people under this system that is based on racism, that is based on racism, that is based on oppressing people with the least power in this country. Not to say that we don't have any power, because I don't believe that. We have just not organized and harnessed our power to the best of our abilities, I believe. And then when some of our best and our brightest become a part of the system, not to change it from within, but to get personal gain for themselves and lying to everybody else, then, you know, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And we have to get serious about addressing this. And so I agree with her wholeheartedly. The man has 1 year left in his term, less than 1 year left in his term, really. He will be out of office in January the 20th. And I highly suspect that he does not have a whole bunch of executive orders lined up to attack racism or to, you know, bring any kind of relief to black people, not any kind of substantial relief. And so I agree with her. It is time to stop giving this man a pass, which he shouldn't have never been given a pass to begin with. From day one, you should be putting demands on the system, no matter who is occupying that office. But I do understand that the masses of the people have been trained to be passive, been trained to be ignorant about policies, how they're made, and the power of the different branches of the government that is oppressing us. We have been trained to be emotional and what have you. Not to say that you should be a robot and never show any emotion and not have any passion or whatnot, but it becomes a problem when we allow emotions to then bring about illogical, not well thought out responses to whatever it is we're responding to. So I agree with her wholeheartedly on that. Now, here's one thing just for the sake of correct information. Dr. Welson was incorrect in stating that black people are the only one that's been enslaved on this continent. I don't know if she liked to read history or how far back she has gone in her reading when she was still alive in history, but that is just simply not true. It is not true. And then I saw that play out yesterday between black people and white people arguing about whether or not the Irish were slaves or not on, on this continent. And the history is there, and it is factual that the Irish were among some of the first slaves that was brought here to this continent. But because we don't read history and we don't know these things that are being purposely hidden from us, so I'm not sitting up here blaming anybody for not knowing their history, because, you know, it's hidden. You got to really dig for some of this stuff. It's not going to be in the school curriculum books, because those are the people that's hiding it from you. But if you go back and you study this history, then you will find out that white supremacy, the system of white supremacy did not come out of just white people thinking they're better than black people or African descended people, because the system, people weren't even referred to in terms of black and white back then. They were referred to in terms of the geographical regions that they came to, any tribal affiliations that they had. If they belonged to a country that, you know, was a country, they were referred to, you know, by that nationality and not a racial classification. But slavery is the maintaining slavery is the reason that they came up with a system of racism and white supremacy. I mean, again, I just found it pretty doggone puzzling, and I also found it frustrating that you would have two groups of people, both of them ignorant about most of the history in this country, arguing about who was a slave and who wasn't a slave. Like, you know, being a slave is an exclusive club and we get a badge of honor for being slaves or whatnot. And that's just, I was like, where is that? Where do you hope to this conversation to lead to? So instead of telling them Irish people who were talking about their history, have you studied their history to know whether or not if they being truthful about their ancestors being slaves? Have you studied European history? I ain't talking about the fake history. I'm talking about the real history. Have you studied the oppression of the Irish on that continent by the British and whatnot? I mean, so it just seems to me pretty damn stupid that we want people to recognize the historic oppression that we have been through, but then when somebody else talks about the historic oppression that they have been through, we want to butt in and we want to shut it down and start arguments, and when, you know, it's just ridiculous. History is history. Whether or not you want to believe it or not, that don't matter. The truth still remains. So, but instead of using that as an opportunity to point out to those people that, yeah, you did come over here in the 1500s and what have you, actually in the 1400s, going way back. So y'all think history just started with the creation of the United States or something on this continent, and you forget the colonies and the colonial history and what have you. So you could use, if you was knowledgeable about slavery on this continent, then you would say to them, you know what, yeah, you were slaves. Very small population of you were brought over here as slaves, not indentured servitude, because if you get kidnapped from your home and forcefully brought somewhere else in chains and forced to work for another man's profit, that's a slave. That ain't no indentured servitude, as somebody tried to argue yesterday. Indentured servitude is voluntary. I volunteer to be your slave for 7 years, and then at the end of that 7 years, you will grant me a parcel of your land to call my own. That's indentured servitude. Or I'm serving out a prison sentence or something like that, but at the end of my prison sentence, I will be free again. You know, That's indentured servitude, or how it used to be. If you are brought over here forcefully kidnapped and brought over here, that's involuntary servitude. You did not volunteer to come here. So then what is involuntary servitude? It's just another word for slavery. That's all. Fancy word, fancy term for slavery. So instead of taking the opportunity, if you, you know, want to jump into people's conversation about their ancestors and what have you, you should have pointed out to them, yeah, it's true. You were brought over here in chains as slaves, along with Africans as well. All right. But guess what? We rebelled. All the enslaved, regardless of their color or whatnot, because the system of racism and white supremacy had not been erected yet. So then when the enslaved persons rose up together in rebellion against the wealthy plantation land thieves, you know, the mass murderers and genocidal maniacs, when they were mostly British Anglo-Saxons, once the people rose up against them, they cut a deal with the Irish. And that deal that they cut with them was that now we're going to consider you to be white. We're going to pass these laws that's going to outlaw the enslavement of quote-unquote white people, and now it's just going to be relegated to Africans and whatnot. And we will hire you to keep these people on the plantation, to catch our runaway slaves, and to police the free black communities that existed and practice racism against them. That's what you should have pointed out to them. If they want to talk about being slaves, then why, if you feel so sorry for slaves, then why did your ancestors betray the movement and become the enforcers of this system? See, that's why reading is important, and not just reading up on current events and news and the things that's going on today, not just reading up on the history that, you know, that starts with the pilgrims that they tell you coming over here, and then they skip over a whole bunch of stuff, and then next thing you know, you're talking about the Civil War and slavery and those terms and whatnot. And I mean, most Americans are pretty damn ignorant when it comes to history, and that is by design. But if we're going to figure out how to dismantle the system of racism and white supremacy, is very important to understand and to read and research and know how it got started. And why was it put in place? Why was it put in place? To keep slavery going. That's why it was put in place. Because see, when you got all of the enslaved people uniting and coming against those who are their enslavers, then that's it. It's over. It's over. It's done. It's a wrap. Slavery is abolished because nobody wants to be a slave and nobody else is going to tolerate slavery. But then they cut a deal. They cut a deal, and that deal was cut so that these wealthy Anglo-Saxon, mostly British aristocrats, crassy, could continue to practicing slavery. Now, let's fast forward it till today. I was observing these people going back and forth about who was a slave and whose ancestor wasn't a slave and whose slavery was the worst and whatever. Look, it's no comparison to the African Holocaust. There's no, the Nazis, what they did to Jews and the gypsies and the communists and the Afro-Germans and the disabled people. It's only estimated they killed 11 million people. That don't compare to the African Holocaust, where hundreds of millions perished. The enslavement of the Irish for that short period of time on this continent, if we want to call 200 years, 200-300 years a short period of time, it does not compare to African slavery. the enslavement of Africans. It don't compare. Nobody's Holocaust. But guess what? What is that going to do to end the system of slavery today that still exists? And I'm watching these people argue back and forth, and nobody is talking about how it still exists to this day and how the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery but made it legal as punishment for crime. Now you can be a slave regardless of your skin color once again on this continent. While it is disproportionately targeting black people, it don't act like that it's only black people in prison. When there are blacks, non-whites, Native Americans who are being targeted the most, there's still a huge number of poor white people who are in there as well. So why do we want to argue about people who was the biggest victim instead of trying to recruit people to become abolitionists today and to fight against the system? And not only can you become a slave regardless of your skin color, you can be a slaver regardless of your skin color. And she was talking about police violence and whatnot. Well, that's just an extension of slavery. That's when the police were created. After they started racing the system, I ain't talking about some imaginary system. I'm talking about the codified system. When I'm talking about codes, I'm talking about laws. When they made it, quote unquote, legal to practice racism. Well, that's why they created the police departments. They didn't create police departments to address crime. They created police department to oppress both free and enslaved black people in this country. And we have to be able to make those historical connections, and we have to have accurate information, or else, you know, we're sitting up there, you know, just looking ignorant as everybody else who don't know the history. Man, it feels like I'm losing my voice here. So, I mean, that's one of the things that had me so frustrated yesterday. Is that people going back, I mean, huge numbers of people going back and forth on social media and on different articles talking about who was a slave and who wasn't a slave. When we got people that's enslaved today, we got plantation rebellions occurring at this very moment. But nobody ain't trying to, you know, free them. I shouldn't say nobody, but very few people. I'm just so frustrated. I'm just so ready for this system of injustice to be overthrown, and a system based on justice implemented. Just so tired, and I just don't see it happening in my lifetime, and that's what really concerns me. Is that I have grandchildren, grandsons, and a granddaughter. I got 3 grandsons now and a granddaughter, and I don't see anything changing by the time they become adults. And I'm just frustrated, and I'm trying to figure out what do we have to do. I know education is a part of it. I know people having the correct information is a part of it. But it's not, you know, it's also going to take a will to act. It's going to take a sacrifice. It's going to have to take some of us willing to put our lives on the line. And it's just not enough of us who are willing to do that. So, I'm sorry. You know, if I'm coming across being all negative and whatnot, but, you know, it's a negative world that we live in. And I'm just so frustrated with all these people suffering. And then, you know, I found her comments talking about putting demands on President Obama and, you know, finding out that President Obama this week met with probably mostly white people, but I can't say for sure, but probably mostly wealthy white people, meeting with them behind closed doors and telling them to support the candidate of the private prison enslavers, Hillary Clinton, and telling him, tell them to throw their money behind her. I'm so done with that Negro. I'm so done with Obama. I don't have any love for this man because he has been nothing but a major fraud. And then I don't even know if I can rightly call him a fraud, because it ain't like when he was out there in 2007 on the campaign trail talking about, I'm going to end slavery, or I'm going to do something to address racism and white supremacy or anything. Now, we know he couldn't, because he wouldn't have got in there if he talked about it in those strong terms. So we was thinking, okay, maybe he codified, maybe he telling these people what he think they want to hear, and not telling them, you know, I plan to do something to address racism and white supremacy. He's sneaking in there, and then once he gets in there, he's going to do something. It's been 7 damn years and he ain't done nothing, and it's clear and evident that he never intended to do anything. And now that we know that he is telling these rich, wealthy crackers to back another rich, wealthy cracker, it is clear to me where his heart is, and it ain't with us. He probably just waiting for the day when he can retire, and then he can go around and give $100,000 speeches to these corporations and these banks and what have you, just like Hillary. See, some of these people, they get in those positions and what have you, they don't want to see the system end, because if the system ends, they lose their position, their lofty positions. They lose their access to butter biscuits and what have you. See, if we overthrow the system tomorrow, then CEO Obama, once he retires, he won't be getting that $200,000 a year for not doing nothing from the federal government as part of his pension. For 8 years of doing nothing but supporting racism and white supremacy, these people don't want to see the system end. And it's evident. But that is not to say that we don't put demands on them, that we don't keep pressing them and pressing them and pressing them. We cannot let up until we reach critical mass, and then we're able to implement a system based on justice. But I'm just so tired. I'm tired. I'm feeling battle fatigue right now. I'm kind of getting mentally exhausted because I'm emotionally invested in the suffering that I see going on out there. You know what? I don't have to feel this stress if I don't want to. I could just sit up here in this little country, a rural area where I live in, and just focus on growing food, hunting food, and you know, just doing what I need to do to take care of our family and not worry about these other families. But I wasn't raised to be that way, and my heart isn't like that, so I stress out over the suffering that I see going on out there, because I ain't no fool. I also know that one of my children could be next. We have to come up with better strategies. I don't have the answers. I'm at a loss today. I do believe in an all of the above approach. You don't hear me criticizing people for marching and protesting and stuff like that. That's a part of putting pressure on the system. It has its uses. It can't work by itself. It's not going to work that by itself. But I also don't criticize people who don't vote who are preparing for the worst. You know, stocking up on food, ammunition, things of that way for when the system does crash under the financial fraud that has been going on globally, that they will be able to survive and won't be out here standing in a line at a FEMA camp trying to get a bowl of soup. But I do, you know, I don't criticize them and say, you know what, if they really, with the technology that they have, you know, and all the sellouts that they got working for them, you know, I'm talking about law enforcement, I'm talking about the military, they ain't no running, ain't no hiding from these people. You ain't gonna get, you might be able to hold out, you know, for a time, but eventually your supply is gonna run out. And you're going to be forced to take risks, and then guess what? They want to find you, they will find you. But I don't criticize them. They should be doing what they're doing. I don't criticize people for voting, because you can at least get some relief for our people, you know, on a local level, if not even a state level. If you can get the right people to run for a political office and then get them elected. Now, there's always the chance that they're going to sell out for some butter biscuits, too. It's always that chance. So what I'm trying to say is I don't see any room for any of us to be criticizing anybody about what they're doing, because nothing any of us is doing seems to be working. We just simply, right now, do not have the resources to change the mental condition of the people, the masses of people. We just don't. And I have to be realistic about that. I'm not going to get discouraged or whatnot and get angry because we only, you know, and give up because we could only reach 170,000 people last month. Not gonna get mad at that. You know, I know we need to be reaching millions, but I can't sit around doing nothing. That's you know, that 170,000. You know, that was, you know, that's something. At least that's 170,000 people that got exposed to some good information on this network, as we have a lot of people, you know, I shouldn't say a lot, but we do have people on this network that have good information to share. And they share it freely. So that's 170,000 people that got exposed to that message. So I keep working. I keep trying to figure out how can I tighten up my operations and you know, just be better at trying to reach these people and what have you. What can I do to stretch the little resources that we do have and get the most out of the few dollars that we do have coming in? So I don't want to come on here to say, you know, act like any one person has all the answers or has the right strategies and what have you, because, you know, I just don't see anything thus far as working. Are we making gains? Yes, we're making some gains. We have gotten a system to concede certain things. We are seeing more and more people in mainstream media use the abolitionist language and recognizing the fact that slavery was never abolished and that it's been legalized in their supreme law of the land called the Constitution and what have you. So we're making gains, but I just don't feel like, you know, I feel like we are far, far away from reaching critical mass. And I'm afraid for the future of our children and grandchildren. That is where most of my frustration lies. Because I don't really, to be honest with you, and people that know me personally, they know I don't care nothing about, I don't care anything for this world. I could die tomorrow and it wouldn't make a difference to me. Because I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of all the suffering and whatnot that's going on. So, you know, I don't fear death or anything like that along those lines. So the fear is not for myself, but the fear is for my children, your children, my grandchildren, and your grandchildren. And you know, we just have to become, I guess, better at what we do. Whatever role it is that we play in trying to bring about a more just and better world for our children, we just have to work harder. We just have to work harder. We have to redouble our efforts, and we have to strengthen our resolve and be true to our commitment. Let me see. I do believe we had a call come in and I must have missed it. If you want to call back on the studio line, we got about 9 minutes left in the program. If you want to call us back, sorry I missed your call. Was not looking at the screen. The phone number again is 704-951-5030. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. Hit *61 anytime you want to comment. Again, got about 9 minutes left in the program. Let me go ahead and share this information, because like I stated earlier, there is a rebellion that is going on in Alabama at home in prison. We've been talking about it on different programs over the past few days. It still has not, it has yet to reach mainstream media. If I would like for you, if you are so inclined, to check out New Abolitionist Radio, which is on Facebook. That's the name of the Facebook program page for that program. And I believe Max Parthas, abolitionist comrade, had posted another update about what was going on in Holman. Okay, here it is. This is just some of the stuff that's going on and it's not just at Holman. This is all over this country. And you want to know why I support abolishing private prison and jails and whatnot, and getting behind and pushing candidates that have made that a part of their platform, is because I see what is going on in these new prison plantations. I shouldn't say new prison plantations, but plantations. These are the new plantations in the current system of slavery. But the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Alabama Disability Advocacy Program have been studying some of what has been going on in the Alabama state prisons. Shout out to the Free Alabama movement. Let me read this. An investigation by the Southern Poverty Law Center and Alabama Disabilities Advocacy Program has found that for many people incarcerated in Alabama state prisons, a sentence is more than a loss of freedom. Prisoners, including those with disabilities and serious physical and mental illnesses, are condemned to penitentiaries where systemic indifference, discrimination, and dangerous, even life-threatening conditions are the norm. It says in the executive summary, it says the Alabama Department of Correction is deliberately indifferent to the serious medical needs of the prisoners in its custody. Inspections of 15 Alabama prisons, interviews with well over 100 prisoners, and a review of thousands of pages of medical records, dispositions, and media accounts, as well as the policies, contracts, and reports of the department and two major contractors, lead to one inescapable Conclusion. Alabama's prisons violate federal law protecting people with disabilities and the U.S. Constitution's ban on cruel and unusual punishments. This disregard for the law endangers the health and lives of prisoners. The ADOC's actions demonstrated valuing of cost over human life. The following are just a few examples of the consequences. Again, you can find a link to this article on New Abolitionist Radio Facebook page, where Max and Johannin and myself, more Max and Johannin than myself, because I have other pages that I manage. But this is where we share most of the information about 21st century slavery and human trafficking as it exists today in within the borders controlled by the corporation known as USA Inc. So you can find that article there. Also, I am reminded that one of our political prisoners, one of our revolutionaries, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Jamal is very, very sick right now as it relates to them withholding treatment for hepatitis C, as they do most of all of the prisoners. Basically, I will just share something with you from Political Prisoner Radio, which we are working on getting back on the air, as I may have found a replacement. Well, I should say Sister Amijo has reached out to someone to replace me as the host, because I had to cut down on hosting different programs as I'm starting to get burnt out and whatnot, and that's not good to overextend yourself. And you know, I still will be a part of that program, I just won't be hosting. But this comes to you from Political Prisoner Radio. We are concerned about Mumia's deteriorating health, as has been witnessed in recent weeks by his visiting doctor, clergy, counselors, teachers, families, and friends. Evidence of intensifying hepatitis C symptoms and possible development of the diabetes that nearly killed him a year ago calls for immediate and appropriate treatment. And you can, there's a link there where you can read more about it and chip in to help Mumia's lawyers at the Abolitionist, I believe it's the Abolitionist Law Center that's representing him with Brett Grote over there. They need money. They need money to help prepare and demand access to his medical records from the court. For those that don't know, right now, the Mumia is involved in a court case, a federal case, a lawsuit that he filed, titled Abu-Jamal versus Carestes, which again focuses on the fact that these prisons are denying medical treatment for treatable diseases that people get when they go in these prisons, and have been denying them access to these medicines because they're concerned about the cost and what have you. So, you know, that's just, that's wrong. And I'll say this about that Constitution. And I know, you know, a movement I'm a part of, 1 million black voters and contributors, are embracing the Constitution and talking about that document. But the Constitution ain't worth a hill of beans if you don't have the people in place to enforce the Constitution. And these law enforcement officers, and I would even say the military, they are not in there to enforce our freedom, the Constitution, anything it talks about in there in terms of your quote-unquote constitutional rights. Look, they are there to do what they were set up to do in the first damn place, and that is to protect the system of slavery that is impacting everyone, but black people more so than others. Yeah, it's good to know the Constitution and point out the obvious hypocrisy and what have you. But as H. Rap Brown would say, their laws keep us down. They don't care. They didn't write those laws for us. Those were written for rich, wealthy, white crackers who were enslavers. That's who it was written for. They only expanded it to the Irish when they made them white so that they could maintain race-based slavery and what have you. So, you know, I do understand you got to cite constitutional law when you're fighting in court for relief and what have you. But, you know, we are just so far behind the eight ball, so to speak, that it ain't even funny. It's very depressing, the state that we find ourselves in this country. So, if you can, please donate to the fund for One Eye Revolutionaries, Mumia Abu-Jamal. He has an Indiegogo campaign, which has raised $19,000, almost $20,000 thus far. Again, you can find that link on our website, Political Prisoner Radio. Listen, before my voice just totally goes out, I'm going to go ahead and conclude the program. But Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Let me see if I can inform you. I know he's going to be talking about children. He's talking about this is what he wrote. The conspiracy agenda is clear: to destroy the children and control the future. Because the children are our future. So tune in at 6 o'clock. I mean, you stay tuned in. We got programming running 24/7. But that live programming will resume on this station at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Tando Radio Show from 6 to 8. From 9 to 10 is usually Race Treaty Radio. I will be working behind the scenes to put that together see if they're going to be on air tonight. And then at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, the Lotus Place will be on, as they usually are every Friday night from 10 p.m. Eastern to 12. Recognize the fact that we indeed live within the confines of a corporation, a corporate entity called USA Inc., and that is corporate officers and the law enforcement people out there are doing nothing but practicing slavery and engaging in human trafficking, and they use force, deadly force, in order to keep us in line. All right, there's going to have to come a time when we're going to have to acquire the resources and the manpower in order to confront this evil system. But in the meantime, the best thing for you to do is to develop battlefield skills and awareness, be preparing, whatnot, so that you don't become an easy casualty out here on this battlefield. And the weekend coming up, you know, definitely be safe out there. Don't be drinking and driving. Don't be getting smoking weed while you're driving and got the car all smelling like weed and then speeding down the road and you get pulled over by one of these slave catchers. And then, you know, who you going to blame for that? Don't make it easy for them, people. Be smart out there. That said, I will be back on air next Monday with another episode of Black Talk Radio News. Peace and blessings to all.
They just hope that he'll never wake up, because they never want to beat him on the back.
What is
y'all
opinion?
Y'all
want to
see America in terms of where she goes and, you know, like who she controls, a whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable and that, you know, like General Steel or USS Steel must make steel for tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
But don't challenge them. Don't challenge their political system.
You see,